The first week we came together, actually 3 weeks ago, might have been 2 weeks ago, we looked at God's five purposes of marriage. Then last week we began looking at some of God's instructions for carrying out those five purposes of marriage. And those two instructions that we dealt with last week was building oneness in the marriage and then communication. Well, this morning we're going to move on to another area of instructions that God has given us for marriage. And that is our roles within the marriage, or our positions or our functions within the marriage. One of my goals this morning is to transform your mind away from the pattern of the world's ideals and philosophies of marriage. And I must say, some of the world's most polluted and ideals and philosophies of marriage are on the very subject we will be looking at this morning. The subject of roles in the marriage is probably the most misunderstood topic in relation to the marriage, which helps to explain why it can bring about so much controversy. And out of the husband and the wife, it is usually the wife that has the hardest time with her role, because her role is that dreaded submissive role. But what I have discovered is that the women that have difficulty with the role that God has given them usually just simply lacks an understanding of that role. Let me start this subject by illustrating it in a way that maybe we can relate to. The subject of football. I missed something. If you take 11 men and you throw them on a field and you say, "Play ball!" you'll have chaos before the game ever begins. Why? Because they all will squabble over who's going to get a play, what position. Half of them is going to want to be quarterback. The rest of them is going to want to be a receiver or a running back. And probably only one or two is going to want to be a tackle or a guard or a center. And not only will there be chaos and disorder before the game begins, the players will be frustrated during the game as well. They'll be yelling at each other about what the other players are supposed to be doing. And when it's said, done, and over with, they end up losing the game. And so how can all that be prevented? Well, you have someone that oversees the team. Someone that knows all the details of the game better than the players themselves. And they call that guy the coach. The coach looks at his players' physical framework. He looks at their abilities. And he assigns each player a position based on what he believes they are best suited for as an individual player, as well as what they are best suited for on playing on the team. Now, once the coach assigns a player his position, he then begins to explain to him his responsibilities or his functions on how he is to perform his position. And then what you have is order before the game starts, because the players know and understand what their position is. Then the game itself is much more enjoyable to play because things run as planned. The odds are for victory much better. Now, if one of the players decides that he does not want to fulfill his position as assigned by the coach, then the game begins to become less enjoyable because the other players now have to step up and do their job as well. See, the success of a football team is determined by how well each player carries out their specific roles as described by the coach. This illustration holds true in marriage as well. See, God is the coach because He knows the game of marriage far better than all of us put together. The divine coach looks at the physical, the mental, and the emotional framework of the man and of the woman. And he assigns them their positions accordingly. And the more the players in that game of marriage understand their positions and their functions, the more enjoyable it will be, and the odds of victory will be so much better in the marriage. Having said all that, let's turn to Ephesians chapter 5, and let's begin to look at our roles. Ephesians chapter 5, and when you get there, say, I want to know my role. Tim, Kelly, can I get you to come up here for a minute? Well, you're the one that told me to behave when you walked off the stage. That'll teach you not to say anything. This is real quick, just, I don't know, something comes to mind. You know, I need you guys to put back to back, look the opposite of each other. There you go. Tim don't know back to back. Okay. All right, just it's a real simple question. A couple weeks ago, we played How Well Do You Know Your Spouse with Tim and Ralph. Not Tim and Ralph. It was Ralph and Sarah, and they actually did pretty well. So you need to look this way, Kel. Okay, he's not taking anything out of your pockets. And it's just one question. How well do you know your spouse? Okay? Tim, what color of shirt does your wife have on? Huh? You need to look that way. What is it? Blue? Where did you get blue? What color is your shirt, Kelly? All right, what color is Tim's? Gray? Is it gray? You got, that's good enough. You guys knew each other. Because I knew you would know because you...
She dresses
Tim,
me.
Exactly. You guys can sit down. I'm done with you. She laid your clothes out. She knew. That's okay. Every week I got to ask my wife, does mine even match? Because I don't even know. And half the time she doesn't tell me yes or no when she should tell me no. Ephesians 5 verse 23 says, the husband is the head of the wife as Christ is the head of the church. This is where the wife says, why can't I be the head of the marriage? Why can't I be the head in the marriage? Why has it got to be the husband? And that's a good question. Matter of fact, flip back to Galatians chapter 3. That's a good question for a wife to ask. Why can't I be the head in the marriage? Apostle Paul wrote in Galatians chapter 3, verse 28. He said, there is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. Now, Scripture does teach us that men and women are equal in several ways. First of all, we are spiritually equal. Men and women are equally sinners. Men and women obtain salvation the same way. There is not a salvation for men and a separate type of salvation for women. We're spiritually equal. At the judgment seat of Christ or at the great white throne judgment, there will not be a line for men and a line for women. Secondly, we are equal in value. Men and women are of the equal importance. They are of equal worth to God when it comes to Him carrying out His plans here on earth. But the Bible also teaches us that men and women are created different in several ways. We're different by design. Physical makeup says that. So we're different by design. Obviously, that's why the women give birth to children and men don't do anything. That's why men have more masculine characteristics and women have more feminine characteristics. We are different by functions or different by roles. See, God did not see a husband to be of more value. God did not see a husband to be better in quality than the wife. But He did see the husband to be better suited to carry out the role of being the head of the household. It means that as God observed man, as God observed woman, He felt that based on man's characteristics, that he is best suited for that particular position. Look at it this way. You have God the Father, you have God the Son, you have God the Holy Spirit, okay? Which one is the head of the church? Jesus. Well, you guys have me. I was going to dig deep on some of them answers. Jesus is the head of the church, the Son. Is Jesus better than God the Father and God the Son? They're equal. They're all three equal in every aspect of the word. But out of the three of them, Jesus fit the role of head of the church better than what the Father or the Holy Spirit does. Now, let me add to this. Being head of the household does not mean that the husband is to have... It does mean he's to have the position of authority, but not in the sense of rank, but only in responsibility. And so, what is the responsibility of the head of the household? To simply lead his family. To simply lead his family. One of the things that means is the husband is to be the primary decision maker for his family. Now, before I get something thrown at me, that does not mean that he makes all the decisions. If a husband and a wife spend time seeking God for direction on something, I believe that God will unify them on that matter. Therefore, the husband should not choose answer A when his wife wants answer B. We lived in California. I went to a dealership to buy a new van. And the salesman, of course, didn't want me to leave until I had a sign on the line. So I got all the information, and I said, well, I'm going home and talk to my wife about it. And he looked at me, he said, well, what are you going home and dodge the bullets for? And I said, buddy, I don't dodge bullets in my house. Me and my wife make decisions together. That's why we're still married. Needless to say, I didn't go back and buy. Secondly, the husband is to be the leader of the home in the position of being the spiritual leader. A husband has the responsibility of helping his wife become everything God wants her to be. As most of you know, my daughter's about to be married. And I sat with the gentleman she's going to be marrying. And I told him, my prayers have always been that God will give my daughter the husband that will help her become the woman God wants her to be. Because that's his responsibility, first and foremost. And so how does a husband do all of that? By having a sacrificial love for his wife. By loving his wife as he loves himself. By being considerate, or by having an understanding of his wife, and by treating his wife with respect. Let me read for you some various areas of Scripture that deal with just that. And you can write them down if you want. Ephesians 5:25 says, husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. Husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. Colossians 3:19 says, husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh, meaning bitter. Do not be harsh or bitter with them. 1 Peter 3:7 says, husbands, be considerate or have an understanding as you live with your wives and treat them with respect as the weaker partner and as heirs with you of the gracious gift of life. How's all that work? Well, first of all, a husband's love for his wife is to be comparable to that of Christ's love for his church. Now, the obvious thing that comes to mind when we read this is obviously sacrificial love. Meaning that a husband that has a sacrificial love for his wife will be willing to lay aside his own personal interests for the sake of his wife's interest or well-being. But I want to add something else here that I don't think we think of a lot when it comes to Christ's love for the church. Jesus' love for the church is the kind of love that brings hope, it brings comfort, and it brings peace to his people. That should also be the kind of love a husband has for his wife. A husband's love for his wife should be one that brings her hope, comfort, and peace, if you're going to love her the way Christ loves the church. The husband is told to love his wife as or in the same way that he loves himself. A husband is to care for his wife as he would care for himself, not as if she is just some other person in the relationship. He should see his wife to be of equal value and then treat her that way. True love from the husband will leave his wife feeling worthy. True love from the husband will leave his wife knowing that she brings value to the marriage. It's not just about him. True love from the husband will leave the wife feeling like she is an asset to the marriage. The husband is told to be considerate of or have an understanding of his wife. That means a husband needs to understand his wife's passions and desires. A husband needs to understand that his wife is designed by God to be more emotionally sensitive. I've last few weeks shared a lot about things of how I used to be a husband in the early years, and I didn't buy into that more emotional thing. And I would put my wife in her place when she teared up and just leave her over there to suffer on her own. But God's taught me women have been made by design to be more emotionally sensitive, and men need to be up on that. A husband needs to understand that his wife was created by God as a weaker partner physically. How does a husband gain understanding of his wife? And we dealt with this last week. Ask questions. Ask her opinions on different things. And then listen. Don't give her your opinions. Ask for hers. And then don't just ask. Listen. In order for that to happen, it goes back to what we talked about last week. There needs to be the atmosphere in the relationship where the wife feels as if she can express herself without fear of ridicule. If she can do that with her husband, she will be willing to submit. But if a woman feels that she cannot be open with her husband, she will find somebody else that's willing to listen to her. To live with your wife with understanding means that you understand that your wife has a desire to express her feelings. And so as a husband, you are to create an atmosphere that is comfortable enough that your wife feels she can openly and honestly express her thoughts and her feelings without facing ridicule. I was, for the most part, never physically violent toward my wife, and I say for the most part. But I destroyed her emotionally, and that does far more damage sometimes than the physical. I've shared this with a few of you. I can lay in bed at night all these years later and look at my wife and just tear up because I still think of what I put her through back then. The husband's job is not to assume how his wife thinks. His job is not to assume how he thinks she should feel about something. Instead, he is called to understand how she thinks or how she feels. Colossians 3:19 said that husbands are not to be harsh or bitter with their wives. This tells us that we need to learn to forgive and not hang on to our wives' past screw-ups any more than we want them hanging on ours. This verse tells us that the husband is not to be bitter towards their wife. Bitterness always leads to resentment. Resentment always leads to division. Division always leads to divorce. Now let me sum this part up as far as the man goes, the husband. As husbands, we are called to lead our families in a godly fashion. To do that effectively, husbands need to be willing to lay aside their own personal agenda, seek their wife's input before they go making decisions for their family. Husbands are not to make decisions for their family until they have first sought out and thought through their wife's viewpoints. Husbands are not to make any decisions for his family as long as they have angered feelings towards their wives. Husbands are to make decisions based on what is better for his wife and his family and not just for himself. Ultimately, a husband's role as head of the household is to guide his wife and children to be everything God's called them to be. Now, the Bible says that the wife is to be this submissive one in the role, but before we go there, let me say this. The Bible never demands or tells a husband to force their wives to submit to them. But what God's Word does imply is that when a wife has a husband that will love her sacrificially, when a wife has a husband that will love her with respect, when she feels that her husband truly does make decisions based on the best interests of the whole family, she will desire to submit. See, husbands are not called to demand obedience, but instead are called to love their wives in such a way that their wives will want to follow. Now, I just want to read something for you here. It's called The Two Gates. It says, there were two gates in heaven. One gate had to sign over it saying, for men whose wives ruled over them. The other had a sign saying, for men who were head of their house. The line for the men who had been dominated was long as the eye could see. The other line only had one man standing there. So Peter asked the man, he said, why are you standing in this line? The man said, I don't know. My wife told me to stand here. Let's move on to the wife's role in the marriage. In Genesis 2:18, we talked about this verse a few weeks ago. It says the wife's role in the marriage is to be the helper, a helper suitable to her husband. Some translations use the word helpmate. And here's what it means. It simply means one who is brought alongside to assist. So the question is, assist what? It is to assist her husband as he leads the family. When God looked at Adam, he saw a man that was incomplete. We talked about this last couple weeks. He saw a man that is incomplete in his abilities to do the things God's called him to do. So a wife's job is, as God brought Eve into the picture, was to fill Adam's gaps and make him complete. A wife is to come alongside her husband to help him in the difficulties of leading his family. She is to give her husband the support that he needs to do what God has called him to do. As his role is to help make his wife all God called her to be, her role is to support him in being carrying out his God-given position. A wife needs to let her husband know that she supports him and believes in him. How does a wife carry out her role of being a helper to her husband? I'm going to give you three verses that talks about just being submissive. 1 Peter 3:1 says, wives, be submissive to your husbands. Ephesians 5:22 says, wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. Colossians 3:18, wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. To be submissive or to submit means to come under the authority of or to yield to. It means to respect the husband's God-given role of authority in the home, even if at times you disagree with them. You have to allow your husband to mess up. Submission requires a willing heart, a loving heart, a heart with which the wife wants to see her husband succeed. A submissive wife is one that is the motivating force behind her husband getting things done. And I can say amen to my wife on that one. A submissive wife will give her suggestions or input on a situation and then be willing to trust her husband to make the decision. A wife's role does not require her to argue with her husband about things, except when it could be something that could bring harm. Even if the husband may be making a bad decision, you need to let him sometimes, because being a leader, a lot of times you learn by messing up. Let your husbands mess up. There is a proverb in the Bible, Proverbs 12:4. It's good for both the husband and the wife to know. It says that a wife of noble character is the crown of her husband. For the wife, that means you are of great value to your husband. For the husband, it means that it's your wife that makes you look good, not yourself. It means that you treat your wife as if she is valuable to you, in the same way that you would not do anything to intentionally harm a crown of great value. You don't do anything that would harm the value of your wife. See, the world views a servant as someone of little worth, but God's viewpoint of a servant is completely different. Jesus is worth more value than all of us sitting here today. But he washed the disciples' feet. A wife's submission is not designed to eliminate her identity. It just simply means that she recognizes her husband's position and she desires to help him fulfill it. Ephesians 5:33 tells us something else about how a wife is to be her husband's helper. It says the wife must respect her husband. This respect deals with admiration, to show consideration to. It means that you don't tear your husband down in front of other people. And I can tell you, I've seen it happen many times. Finally, Titus 2:5 says for wives to be subject to their own husbands, that the word of God might not be dishonored. Simply put, folks, when a wife refuses to live within the role that God has given her, she dishonors the word of God. Eve was seen doing that in the Garden of Eden. This tells us that a wife cannot submit to her husband's leadership. A wife that cannot submit to her husband's leadership does not have a problem with her husband. She has a problem with her Lord, because he's the one that gave her the position. He's the one that assigned it. See, a lack of submission to the husband is as much a spiritual problem as it is a marital problem. And we'll talk more about that next week when we deal with conflicts in the marriage. When you get down to it, the role of the wife is to be whatever assistance she can be to her husband to help him live up to his God-given role. And the husband is to love the wife in such a way that she would want to do that. Husbands, if you will love your wives with understanding, just as Christ loved the church, your wife will have no trouble submitting. Success in a marriage does not come simply by choosing the right mate. Success comes by being the right mate. So who's more superior in the marriage, the husband or the wife? Neither one. The wife is more superior at being the wife, and the husband is more superior at being the husband. Both positions are equally important if there's going to be unity in the marriage. Society tries to get us to believe that the roles of the husband and the wife are interchangeable. And the more the husband and wives believe that, the more the divorce increases. In order for a marriage to receive God's blessings, it needs to operate the way God designed it. One of the most important things about the topic of your role or function in your marriage is to remember that they were assigned by God and not your spouse. As I come to a close this morning, I want to give you an illustration that might help understand all of this a little better. And I'm going to use a motorcycle this time. You have two tires on a motorcycle. The first thing we need to determine is who is which tire. According to God's plan, the husband is the front tire. I don't have verse to prove that yet. The husband's the front tire, the wife would be the back tire. The purpose of the front tire is to determine the direction of the back tire. When the front tire turns left, the back tire goes left and vice versa. And so the wife would be the back tire because she is called to follow her husband. Now, that sounds kind of bad though, until you consider the fact that it is the back tire that pushes the front tire forward. See, the back tire is the motivating force between the two tires. Now, it takes both tires to get the motorcycle to its destination. When one tire goes forward, the other one must go forward. A motorcycle cannot make any progress if both tires do not roll in the same direction at the same time. Also, both tires must have air in them if they're going to run smoothly. If one tire is flat and not functioning properly, it will hinder that forward progress. In addition to this illustration, motorcycles are not designed to go backwards, and neither is a marriage. One additional note. As long as the two tires perform their roles correctly, the results will be a smooth and an enjoyable ride. But if for some reason the motorcycle is going down the road and those two tires decide to go in two different directions, you're going to crash. And that is also true with the marriage. I close with this. All of us, man, woman, husband, wife, teenager, adult, mother, father, grandmother, grandfather, we were placed on this earth with a role. That was to serve the Lord. So my question to you today is, are you serving the Lord? That is your role in this life, no matter who you are. Have you ever truly committed your life to the Lord? And I guess my illustration there would be, you need to get in the driver's seat of life and let Jesus get behind the steering wheel. But to do that, you need to invite Jesus into your car to get in that driver's seat. Salvation is you inviting Jesus Christ into your heart and saying, I need you to be the Lord of my life. So the question is, have you ever done it? And are you living life in such a way that it proves it? If you have not, I want to encourage you today to surrender yourself to Jesus Christ. Invite Him into your life, into your heart, and ask Him to begin to change you and teach you how to live for Him. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning. We don't always agree with the way you've laid things out for the marriage. All of us by nature are selfish people, me people, I kind of people.
And so when it comes to the marriage, we definitely carry that in our homes. And with that comes a lot of problems. Having been on both sides of the fence, Lord, I know the best marriage you can ever have is one that is in line with the way you've laid it out. And so, Father, I pray that we will take this home today. We will implement it and or practice it or and improve it in our own homes. Maybe somebody here is not married, but they know somebody it is. And maybe this is just some advice they can pass on to them. Because regardless of our marital status here, every one of us, one way or another, is affected by marriages. It's a way of life. Lord, we just love you. We thank you and we praise you for our spouses, for our kids, and today specifically for all the moms and grandmothers in this place. In Christ's name, amen.